Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 2nd April, 2026, Hebrews.
All right, before we get started, I want to remind you all that our evangelism team will be going out to Indian Springs this Saturday for an Easter party, and I encourage all of you to pray that God would work in the hearts of the people out at Indian Springs and draw by His hand of grace all the ones who should be there, and pray for our evangelism team that they will be channels of God's grace and tools in God's hand to proclaim the grace gospel clearly and accurately, and that God might use that to His honor and His glory to bring many sons into glory. God opened the door for Upland Bible Church to go out to Indian Springs for years and years and years, and the people out there love to have us come out. They love to hear the grace gospel proclaimed to the people there. And only when we get to heaven will we begin to understand how many of those people place their faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. But it's been a wonderful open door that God has provided for us over the years. And it started all the way back when Deb was teaching out there, and I was an assistant track coach out there. And right from the get-go, the people that were the teachers there at Indian Springs and the track coach was a believer in Jesus Christ, and he gave me the freedom to talk to all the kids on the team about the Lord Jesus Christ and give them the grace gospel. In fact, anyone out there, he gave us that freedom. That was a very wonderful open door provided by the grace and power of God. Also, we have an update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas report for April 1st. The Las Ventanas lesson on Wednesday, April 1st, went very well. After the ladies sang Standing on the Promises, we listened to Pastor Olson teach our 10th lesson on the 23rd Psalm. Pastor Olson taught from 5 different passages in the New Testament to describe the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, to help us understand David's understanding as he was the human author of this psalm. For the believer's phase one salvation, Christ is called the honorable shepherd for laying down his life for the sheep. For the believer's phase two spiritual life from salvation to physical death or the rapture, Christ is the great shepherd by preparing and equipping the sheep to do His will. And for the believer's phase three in eternity, Christ will be the chief shepherd by awarding crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture of the church, such as the crowns of glory provided for faithful communicators of the Word of God, and the crowns of life and crowns of righteousness given to winner believers, as well as the order of the morning star. Glory to God as He continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas, and your prayers, once again, are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Hebrews, the epistle of Hebrews. Thursday night, we're starting a new book, Hebrews. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're starting a new book on Thursday, the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews stands out as a masterpiece of revelation from God. It is one of the most significant books in the canon of Scripture. And we were just beginning to start by way of introduction. We studied the first 7 points of introduction to the book of Hebrews. We noted that point one, in a very wonderful way, Hebrews provides the link between the dispensation of Israel and the dispensation of the church age. We're living in the church age, which began at Pentecost and will conclude with the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. Point two, Hebrews explains many of the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, giving believers a solid foundation on which to grow up spiritually in Jesus Christ. Three, the epistle to the Hebrews also uniquely presents the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Point four, it deals especially with theological issues concerning our Lord Jesus Christ's incarnation on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that the world will ever know, the eternal Son of God left heaven, and through the incarnation and virgin birth, he took on true humanity. Why? Because God the Father's plan of salvation was for the eternal Son of God to take on true humanity, to go to a cross where the sins of the world will be poured out on him and judged in him, so that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life. So it deals especially with the theological issues concerning his incarnation and virgin birth, his royal priesthood, the unique testing that he went through, his endurance in passing all that testing, His substitutionary death on the cross. His resurrection, and that's what we'll be celebrating on Easter Sunday, this Sunday, is Resurrection Sunday. It's Victory Sunday. And then also Jesus Christ is the great defense attorney, our advocate in heaven for all of us believers. And then point five, crowned in heaven with glory and honor, Christ is the ultimate authority as the divine Son of God manifested in the flesh. Point six, Hebrews presents Christ as infinitely superior to all the angels of heaven, as well as to Abraham, Moses, Joshua, the Levitical priests. Point seven, Hebrews differs from other New Testament epistles in three ways. Totally unique. First of all, there is no salutation at the beginning of Hebrews. The author immediately launched into the subject of who and what Christ is and how Jesus Christ is superior in both his person and his ministry. Right from the get-go, in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Secondly, Hebrews is shrouded in anonymity. Nobody knows who the author is of Hebrews, and nobody knows where the local church was that it was sent to. It provides no information concerning when and where it was written. And then third, it concludes with an intense challenge, urging believers to become complete in Christ, to attain spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and be complete in Christ. Now, we studied that last week, but we're still in by way of introduction. So now, point eight. Hebrews is divided into two major sections. First of all, a doctrinal section, and secondly, a personal and practical section. The doctrinal section is from chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 10, verse 18. That's the doctrinal section. The personal and practical section is from chapter 10, verse 19, to chapter 13, verse 25. So Hebrews is divided into two major sections, a doctrinal section and a personal and practical section. Point nine, the doctrinal section contrasts Old Testament revelation with New Testament revelation. The doctrinal section contrasts Old Testament revelation with New Testament revelation. And we're going to see that right at the beginning here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the Old Testament, God spoke at various times and in various ways in time past to the fathers through the prophets, giving revelation to Israel in the Mosaic Law, in the historical books, and in the prophets. So right away, right out of the chute, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, in the Old Testament, God spoke at various times and in various ways in time past to the fathers through the prophets, giving revelation to Israel in the Mosaic Law, first of all, secondly, the historical books, and third, the prophets. That was Hebrews 1:1. Then Hebrews 1:2. In the New Testament, God has in these last days spoken to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. So we go from verse 1 of Hebrews 1 to verse 2, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, God in these last days has spoken to us through His eternal Son, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, God's revelation to the Old Testament prophets was only partial and periodic from the time of Adam to the prophet Malachi. God progressively revealed His plan and program and purposes. Point 10. Old Testament revelation set the stage for unveiling the sufficiency and the infinite superiority of Jesus Christ. Old Testament revelation set the stage for unveiling the sufficiency and infinite superiority of Jesus Christ. 11. The preeminent revelation was to come through Jesus Christ. The preeminent revelation was to come through Jesus Christ, who would not only speak for God, but as God. The preeminent revelation was to come through Jesus Christ, who would not only speak for God, but as God. As the eternal Son of God. Hebrews states dogmatically that God has in these last days spoken to us through His Son. That's Hebrews 1 verse 2. Point 12. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ will interpret and explain the works and the will of God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ will interpret and explain the works and the will of God the Father. Point 13. The practical section of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19 through chapter 13, verse 25, building on the sound doctrines in the first section, the doctrinal section, chapter 1, 1 to 10, 18, presents the type of life every believer is to live, one of faith, one of hope and confidence, one of love, infinite virtue love, and one of total commitment to Christ. So the practical section of chapter 10, verse 19 through chapter 13, verse 25, building on the sound doctrines of chapter 1, 1 through 10, 18, presents the type of life that every believer is to live. One of faith and hope, confidence and love, virtue love, and total commitment to Christ. That is, we ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the total commitment to Christ. That is occupation with Jesus Christ. Attaining spiritual maturity and loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. 14. Putting the doctrinal and practical together, the epistle continually warns believers. Three things. Putting the doctrinal and the practical together, the epistle of Hebrews continually warns believers. First of all, not to live your life by the lust patterns of the sin nature. Not to live your life by the lust patterns of the sin nature. Secondly, it warns believers not to live your life in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And third, above all, it warns believers, don't be distracted away from living the unique spiritual life God has for you in the church age. Above all, don't be distracted away from the unique spiritual life God has for you in the church age. So putting the doctrinal and practical together, this epistle, Hebrews, continually warns believers not to live by the lust patterns of your sin nature, not to live in Satan's cosmic system, and above all, don't be distracted away from living the unique spiritual life God has for us in the church age. So without question, Hebrews is one of the greatest and most important books in the New Testament. It contains an in-depth study of both the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. It covers his earthly ministry all the way to his exaltation, resurrection, ascension, and session, seated at the right hand of God the Father with a special title. He was given a special title as he sat down to the... And what is the... It's not the right hand. God doesn't have. It's on the right side of God. The right side is the place of honor. The right side is the place of honor. And God the Father had Jesus Christ sit in the place of honor because now he has a new title. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That was given to him following his resurrection, ascension, and being seated at the right side, the place of honor of God the Father. A title, King of all kings. Lord of all lords, with infinite superior authority and infinite superior rulership of the whole universe. Rulership of the whole universe. Now there's a fallen angel that is currently ruling planet Earth. Boy, do we see that going on. Day after day after day. But planet Earth, a stinky, little, puny planet, he rules that. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, place of honor, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He rules the universe. Yes, Satan is ruling his puny little planet Earth. And Jesus Christ is infinitely superior to all angelic creatures, including Satan himself. So it continues an in-depth study of both the deity and the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his hypostatic union. It covers his earthly ministry all the way to his exaltation, resurrection, ascension, and session in the place of honor at the right side of God the Father. Point 15. This epistle explains the excellence and superiority of Christ. The epistle of Hebrews explains the excellence and superiority of Christ in his person. And when I say person, that's in his essence. He is co-equal and co-eternal with God. He is the eternal God. God is one in essence, but three in personality, three members of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, with the same essence, the same attributes. Jesus Christ is God, the eternal God. So this epistle explains the excellence of Christ in his person, in his essence, in his attributes, in his priesthood, unique royal priesthood. And he's the royal high priest of our priesthood, in his preeminence, and in his purpose for coming to earth. And that was to fulfill God the Father's plan of salvation. God the Father designed the plan of salvation, Operation Grace. And when God the Father designed that plan of salvation, God the Son said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." And that was absolutely amazing. It meant that God the Son had to leave heaven. He had to leave heaven and leave glory. He had to humble himself and take on true humanity. And that was accomplished through the incarnation and virgin birth. The greatest miracle that this world will ever know. That first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. Because Operation Grace required someone to pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus Christ said, "I will do it." But deity can't die. So the eternal Son of God had to take on true humanity. It was the true humanity of Jesus Christ that was nailed to the cross. And God the Father gathered the sins of the world and poured them out on his Son. And then he judged them in Christ. And Jesus Christ willingly took on true humanity. He willingly went to the cross. He willingly received the sins of the whole world and the judgment of those sins. So that anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal salvation. This epistle was written primarily to Jewish believers. This epistle was written primarily to Jewish believers, some of whom were thinking about returning to Judaism. They were being distracted away by false apostles who were telling them to go back to Judaism. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. We'll be there, but not next week. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. So this epistle was written primarily to Jewish believers, some of whom were thinking about returning to Judaism. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. 17. It encourages them to go on to spiritual maturity. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. And we won't be there next week either, but we're going to get there if the Lord tarries. So it encourages them to go on to spiritual maturity in Christ, Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. And it shows that Christ is infinitely better than what Judaism has to offer. And that's throughout the book of Hebrews. We're going to see it in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. We're going to see it again in chapter 6, verse 9. We're going to see it again in chapter 7, verses 7 and 19 and 22. We're going to see it again in chapter 8, verse 6. We're going to see it again in chapter 9, verse 23. We're going to see it again in chapter 10, verse 34. And we're going to see it again in chapter 11, verses 16 and 35 and 40. And we're going to see it again in chapter 12, verse 24. So it shows, Hebrews shows that Christ is infinitely better than what Judaism has to offer. 18. By contrast, Hebrews shows that Christ is infinitely superior. By contrast, Hebrews shows that Christ is infinitely superior to the prophets, to angels, to Moses, Joshua, Aaron, Melchizedek, infinitely superior to the tabernacle, to animal sacrifices, infinitely superior to the Levitical priesthood, infinitely superior to Old Testament saints. So by contrast, Hebrews shows that Christ is infinitely superior to the prophets, to angels, to Moses, Joshua, Aaron, Melchizedek, to the tabernacle, to the animal sacrifices, to the Levitical priesthood, and to Old Testament saints. Point 19. In other words, the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. 100%. The Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. Now, that's the Hebrew word, Mashiach. It means the anointed one. The Greek word is Christos, Christ. So when you say Christ, you're saying Messiah. The Bible says, when the Bible says Jesus is the Christ, it's saying Jesus is the Messiah. So Messiah, Mashiach in the Hebrew in the Old Testament, Christos, Christ, in the New Testament are equivalent. So, in other words, the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Luke 24, verses 27 and 44. Now, even today, the book of Hebrews reminds Jewish believers that Christ is infinitely superior to anything they had in Judaism, and that he is sufficient for every area of their spiritual lives. That's the introduction, by way of introduction. Now, the first three verses. I love the way this starts out. No salutation. First three verses provides irrefutable proof that Jesus Christ is God and the heir of all things. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we have the incomparable Christ, the incomparable Messiah. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. What a way to start out an epistle. No epistle starts out like this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. We always start with the thundering diction of the King James. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners This is, and I want you to listen as I go along here, this is the adverb polumeros. Then we have the conjunction kai with a second adverb, polutropos. And then we have a third adverb, poli. Three adverbs in a row. Adverb, adverb, adverb. You don't see that anywhere else in the scriptures. And then we have the nominative singular of theos with the definite article. But before we ever get to ha theos, God, we have three adverbs before we ever get to God. The first adverb, polumeros. Polumeros. P-O-L-U-M-E-R. Long O-S. Polumeros. Now, I know you won't be too surprised with this. Polumeros is a hypophlegomenon. This is the only time that this adverb is found in the New Testament scriptures. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. So, one, polumeros means in many parts, or in many portions. In many parts, or in many portions. Two. This is referring to the Old Testament scriptures. In many parts, in many portions, referring to the Old Testament scriptures. Three, in many parts of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is revealed. In many parts of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is revealed. Four, in many parts of the Old Testament, we have the Messiah. The Christ, who would eventually come in the flesh on that very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the Messiah, the Christ, the greatest miracle the world will ever know. So in many parts of the Old Testament, we have the Messiah, the Christ, who would eventually come in the flesh, the incarnation and virgin birth. Five. There are many manifestations of Christ in many parts of the Old Testament scriptures. There are many manifestations of Christ in many parts of the Old Testament scriptures. Six, Christ, the Messiah, is revealed from Genesis to Malachi in the Old Testament. Christ, the Messiah, is revealed from Genesis to Malachi. Therefore, point seven, the entire first chapter of Hebrews is a very, very strong proof of the importance of the Old Testament. The entire first chapter of Hebrews is a very, very strong proof of the importance of the Old Testament. And that's why, as long as I am pastor of Upland Bible Church, I've always had one class teaching from the Old Testament scriptures. And I always will. And there's very few pastors that still study and teach from the Old Testament scriptures, because for the most part, most pastors have not prepared for the ministry. They don't know biblical Greek. They don't know biblical Hebrew or Aramaic. And because they don't know that, they don't even spend time teaching anything in the Old Testament. And it's loaded. It's presenting Jesus Christ again and again and again and again all throughout the Old Testament. So the entire first chapter of Hebrews is a very, very strong proof of the importance of the Old Testament. And then we have the conjunction chi. It's a connective chi, and you translate it and. And then we have adverb number two. This is adverb number one. But then right afterward is adverb number two. Polutropos. P-O-L-U-T-R-O-P, long O-S. Polutropos. This is adverb number two. And guess what? You got it. Polutropos is also a hapax legomenon. So we start out hapax legomenon followed by hapax legomenon, adverb followed by adverb. This is the only time that this adverb is found in the New Testament scriptures. It also is not found in the Septuagint version of the Hebrew canonical scriptures, but this is found in other versions of the Old Testament. So, point one, polutropos means in various ways. In various ways, or in different ways. In various ways, in different ways. Two, Jesus Christ was revealed in various ways in the Old Testament scriptures. He was revealed in theophanies, in types, he was revealed in the tabernacle, he was revealed in the offerings, he was revealed in the holy days, he was revealed in the Levitical sacrifices. So Jesus Christ was revealed in various ways in the Old Testament. Theophanies, types, tabernacle, offerings, holy days, Levitical sacrifices. So the first adverb, polumeros, says in every part of the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, Jesus Christ is revealed. The second adverb, polutropos, says in various ways, Jesus Christ is revealed. And that brings us to the third adverb, poly. And you will never see construction like this anywhere else in the scriptures, nowhere else in the New Testament. Three adverbs in a row, poly. And poly, number one, means long ago. Long ago or formerly. Two, poly is designating a point of time in the past. Designating a point of time in the past. Therefore, point three, poly indicates that we are talking about Old Testament times. Therefore, poly indicates that we are talking about Old Testament times. And then, after the three adverbs, then we get ha theos. Definite article ha and theos. Ha theos, the God. And God is the subject. So corrected translation, in many parts of the Old Testament, and in many various ways, long ago in the Old Testament, God, that's as far as we got, in many parts of the Old Testament, and in many various ways, long ago, God, and there's the subject, and then we have in the King James, spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. And this is the aorist active participle of laleo, plus the dative plural of pater with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase, and plus the dative plural of prophetes with the definite article. Now, the subject is God, and the verb is laleo. L-A-L-E long O, laleo. Now, first of all, laleo is the basic Greek verb for communication. The basic Greek verb for communication. Two, laleo means to speak, or to communicate. To speak or to communicate. Three, it means to speak or communicate to or with someone. To speak or to communicate to or with someone. Now, God is the subject. He's doing the speaking. So point four, God is communicating. God is speaking. God is communicating to someone. To whom? The dative plural of pater. P-A-T long E-R. Pater. And in the plural, that's the fathers. So God is communicating to the fathers. Point five. In the plural, pater refers to the forefathers or the ancestors. Forefathers or ancestors. Six. This refers to the national ancestors of the Jews. Refers to the national ancestors of the Jews. Seven. This refers to the Jews of Old Testament times. Refers to the Jews of Old Testament times. So God is doing the communicating, and he's communicating to the fathers, the forefathers, the ancestors, the Jews of Old Testament times. And then we have the preposition en plus the dative. The preposition en plus the dative. N plus the dative means by means of or through, by means of or through, and then the object of the preposition is the dative plural of prophetes. Prophetes, that's P-R-O-P-H. Long E, T, long E, S, prophetes. And prophetes means prophet in the plural, the prophets. So the corrected translation sounds like this. In many parts of the Old Testament, and in many various ways, long ago in the Old Testament time, God, having communicated to the fathers through the prophets, God, having communicated to the fathers through the prophets. All right. One. The writer of the epistle of Hebrews wasted no time. He wasted no time in making his point. Right from the get-go, right at the very first verse. He didn't begin by saying who he was and who he was writing to and all that. No, he gets right to the point. So the writer of the epistle of Hebrews wasted no time in making his point. Two, without any salutation, he immediately began setting forth the progression of God's revelation through the prophets. Without any salutation, he immediately began setting forth the progression of God's revelation through the prophets. Three, all we know about God came directly from Him. All we know about God came directly from Him. Four, if God had not spoken, humanity would have no clue as to His person, His nature, His essence, His will for all mankind. If God had not spoken, humanity would have no clue as to God's person, nature, essence, or will for mankind. Five, nor would people know the truth about creation. Nor would people know the truth about creation. But we know the truth about creation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. And He simply spoke, and it came into being. Now, you speak, and we have to wash out your mouth with soap, you know. You ever have that happen? When I was a youngster, I was out playing with my neighborhood friends, and they said some four-letter words. I never said all these four-letter words. I go, So I came in, and Mom was in the kitchen, and I just repeated all those four-letter words. And I won't say them here for the dignity of the clergy. But anyway, I said them all. And my mother grabbed me by the ear, took me into the bathroom. There was a bar of naphtha brown soap, disgusting stuff. And she put my head down and run that naphtha soap back and forth and back and forth and back and forth in my mouth. And she said, "You don't ever talk like that way." Well, I know sure as shit I wasn't going to say those words again, you know. I had enough naphtha in my mouth. So point five, nor would people know the truth about creation. Jesus Christ created the universe. He spoke and it came into being. Not only did he create the universe, he's holding the universe together. Even when he was a baby in a manger, he was holding the universe together. There never has been a time. He created the universe. He's holding the universe together. He created the angels. And those, a bunch of them from Satan, Lucifer, he was the first one in arrogance who fell. And then one third of the angels joined Satan in his revolution against God. But Jesus Christ created the universe. He's sustaining the universe right now. So nor would people know the truth about creation. Six, thus over time, God progressively revealed himself through the prophets. Thus over time, God progressively revealed himself through the prophets, who accurately recorded the revelation, revealing God and his will for mankind. Thus, over time, God progressively revealed himself through the prophets, who accurately recorded the revelation, revealing God and his will for mankind. Seven, God did not set aside the prophets' personalities or language or cultures when he providentially guided each one to reveal his word. God did not set aside the prophets' personalities or language or cultures when he providentially guided each to reveal his word. Eight, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is infallible, inerrant, plenary, and verbal, as originally given. All scripture is God-breathed, infallible, inerrant, plenary, and verbal, as originally given. Nine, as the very Word of God, Scripture possesses the properties of authority, sufficiency, clarity, and efficacy. As the very Word of God, Scripture possesses the properties of authority, sufficiency, clarity, and efficacy. Verse 1 declares that the revelation from God came in many parts of the Old Testament and in various ways to the Father. I don't know how that appeals to you. This just blew me away as I'm going through this. Right from the start, no epistle starts like Hebrew starts. No epistle. It is so powerful. And it's putting the spotlight on the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the Messiah, Christ. And it just gets more powerful and more powerful and more powerful. And I hope you will enjoy this as much as I am. I am absolutely blown away. I had never studied Hebrews. I've never taught Hebrews. But I tell you, I am overwhelmed by the book of Hebrews. And we have so much, so many great things ahead. And When we finish this, you will see Jesus Christ in a way you've never seen him before. And at that point, you will love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's why we're here. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.